unto him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our risen Redeemer, dear fellow redeemed, all of you might be very familiar with the painting of the Lord Jesus as portraying him as the Good Shepherd. In his arms he holds a little lamb, which is a symbol of Jesus' love for little children. And around his feet are other sheep standing, whom he guides and leads with his tender care. What you and I know and believe about Jesus, he also wants others to know and believe, namely that he is the Son of God, true God with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and the promised Messiah and Savior of all sinners. This is the saving truth that you and I should proclaim and make known to others as he urges us, lift up your voice and say, behold your God. Our text is recorded in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 6 through 11. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. In this word of God before us, God calls upon us to lift up our voices and to declare to all who will listen, behold your God. It's the voice of God that says, cry out. However, that voice is immediately followed with a question. What shall I cry? What shall I say? Throughout the history of the world, it has never been left up to people to decide for themselves what they should say in the name of our God. In the opening verses of this chapter, for which our text is taken, this is made very clear, as it is also made very clear elsewhere in Holy Scripture. Our text is preceded by a prophecy foretelling the coming of the Savior's forerunner, namely John the Baptist. John's voice was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, who specifically was told, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. John the Baptist was told to lift up his voice and proclaim that the time, according to God's calendar, was coming, that the promise of God to send a Savior into the world would be fulfilled. And he was to direct people now to the Lord Jesus, who had begun his ministry and appeared on the scene. The prophet Isaiah foretold the beginning of John's ministry. Ours is a continuation of that ministry with the same message, a message of sin and a message of grace, a message of law and a message of gospel, a message that calls for repentance and faith. Now, how does that message begin? It begins with the declaration, all flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely, the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. This is a very vivid picture and description of our lives here on earth. We're reminded here of the fact that we are only here for a short time. The prophet writes that we are like grass, green and fresh as it begins and flourishes, and then, of course, it withers and dies. We're like a flower that blooms and blossoms so beautifully, but only for a short time, and the flower dries up and falls away. Now, why is that? That's because we are sinners. We are conceived and born in sin. And because we are conceived and born in sin, we also daily sin much and indeed deserve nothing but God's wrath and punishment. The breath of the Lord blows upon us. We cannot stand in the presence of God's holy law. The Ten Commandments condemn and convict us of our sins, and they tell us that we have no hope for this life, and certainly no hope for the life that is to come on the basis of who we are or what we do. Four times in our text, we're told that we are like grass, 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 grass. Like the grass, we will perish if left to our own powers and our own ability and our own knowledge. However, then, in sharp contrast to what is so perishable, we are told the word of our God stands forever. Whether we are speaking the law or the gospel, God's word is a living word that abides forever. The law is a living word. It touches our hearts and consciences and shows us where we have sinned. The gospel is a living word that comforts troubled sinners. It offers us peace and pardon and complete forgiveness of all of our sins. It's through the gospel that we are born again. We are born into the family of God by faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter wrote about this in his first epistle, and he quotes the words of the prophet Isaiah in his text. He writes, "We, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because..." And then he quotes from Isaiah, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of our Lord endures forever." Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. The law is the message that shows us that we are as perishable as the grass of the earth. And the gospel is the message that gives us this spiritual faith and life and trust. Through the gospel, we become children of the Heavenly Father. The gospel is a message of comfort and hope for each of us as a sinner. And twice in our text, we're told that the gospel is the good tidings, the good news about how much God loved us and how much he still loves us. These good tidings take us back to the angel's announcement to the shepherds on the fields at Bethlehem on the first Christmas Eve. The angel said, "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord,'" that is, the promised Messiah and Redeemer. Now, whether we're speaking the words of the law or the words of the gospel, it is God speaking to you through us. We should lift up our voices and say, "Behold, your God." We are called upon to direct people to the only true God. There is no other God than the living God. All of the other gods that people think up or dream up simply are no gods at all. And they don't even exist, and it is all hopeless and helpless. However, the Lord God, the true God, the only living God, is He who came with a strong hand and a mighty arm, who conquered sin, death, and hell for us through His Son, the Lord Jesus, who fulfilled all of the commandments in our place, and who suffered and died to redeem us, and then He rose again to conquer sin, death, and the devil for us. Through this message of salvation, God feeds His flock like a shepherd. He takes us in His arms, holds us, and carries us in His bosom, and gently leads us along through life. On the ancient church calendar, the second Sunday after Easter was designated as Good Shepherd Sunday. With the passing of the time, and in more recent years, many churches have designated next Sunday as the Good Shepherd Sunday. Whether we observe it today or next Sunday, that's neither here nor there. However, we remember that repeatedly, Scripture portrays and speaks of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, who loves us and cares about us. You heard it from the Gospel reading a short time ago. Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives His life for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own." We know Jesus as our Savior, and Jesus knows us and cares for us. Then later in that same chapter, Jesus says, "I will lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." In these words, the Lord Jesus is directing us to Good Friday, to Calvary's cross, where He laid down His life in order to redeem us, where with His holy precious blood He washed all our sins away. And then we are directed from Calvary to the open, empty grave, where He rose and took His life again. And He assures you and me, "Because I live, you shall live also." We who believe in Him as Lord and Savior are called the sheep of His pasture. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." David the psalmist spoke of Jesus and God as our shepherd in that familiar Psalm 23, which we sang at the beginning of the service. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, who should lift up their voices and who should say, "Behold your God"? And to whom are we speaking? Both of these questions are answered in our text. "O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God." Now, the names Zion and Jerusalem are used frequently in the Bible, but not always with the same meaning. Zion and Jerusalem frequently refer to a place. Mount Zion was a hill on the city of Jerusalem. And on that hill, Mount Zion, was built the temple of the Lord, where they gathered to worship the one true God. And in other instances, Zion and Jerusalem refer to nothing here in time, but these words refer to the heavenly Jerusalem, where we will dwell eternally with our Lord and God. But in many instances where the term Zion and Jerusalem are used, Scripture is referring specifically to the Church of God. Not any denomination, but the Church of God, which is made up of all and only believers in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, when Zion is called in our text to get up into the high mountain, and Jerusalem is called to lift up its voice with strength, God is calling upon all Christians of all times to point to Calvary's cross, where Jesus suffered and died to redeem us, and then to point to the open, empty grave, where he took his life again and conquered sin, death, and hell for us. These two, we direct the attention of people. Behold your God who suffered and died. Behold your God who rose again from the grave and conquered sin, death, and hell for you. You and I, who know the one true God and who believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and our only Savior, are called upon to make ourselves prominent where we can be seen and where we can be heard, calling people to repentance and faith. We are the bearers of good news from God in this world, which is filled with so much bad news, as we hear every day. If you and I, together with other Christians, do not tell people to behold their God, then who is going to do it? The people who do not know the true God and who have never heard of the Lord Jesus are not going to carry out that work of proclaiming the good tidings. People who have forsaken the Lord long ago certainly aren't going to tell others about the one true God. If we as his people don't do it, when will and how will it get done? God is counting on you and me to lift up our voices and invite others to behold your God who suffered and died to redeem you, and behold your God who rose triumphantly from the grave. God calls upon us, one and all, young and old, to carry out that great commission that Jesus placed upon his disciples and his church just before he ascended into heaven. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That is called evangelism. Carrying out being his witnesses. Yes, our theme should always be evangelize. Each one, reach one. And thereby we carry out God's instructions that are emphasized here by the prophet Isaiah in our entire text. In a world where there are so many sources trying to get away from God and to silence the voice of God, those of us are called upon to lift up our voices and drown out that voice that is trying to silence the voice of God. We must heed his urging. Lift up your voice. Don't be afraid. Get out there, wherever it might be, where you can be seen and heard, and say, behold your God. That is the commission given to us. Where do we begin in our witnessing? At home, with our family, our loved ones, our friends, and wherever we come into contact with people, be it at work or be it at our leisure. Let us gladly lift up our voices and point to Christ, the Good Shepherd, who will lead us and bless our efforts as we say, behold your God. In answer to the call of our gracious God, let us respond with the words of the hymn writer in our hearts and on our lips. Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do, while the souls of men are dying and the Master calls for you. Take the task he gives you gladly. Let his work your pleasure be. Answer quickly when he calleth, here am I. Send me, amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Savior, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, dear Lord, from thee. In love my soul would bow, my heart fulfill its vow. Some offering bring thee now, something for thee. Amen. Lord Jesus, our risen Savior, truly you are our good shepherd, for you gave your life for us, your sheep. Surely it was your great love for us sinners, who were lost and straying, that moved you to come into the world to live, to die, and to rise again, that we might have the life that does not end. Good Shepherd, we owe you heartfelt thanks and praise, and your continual love is a real blessing to us. It is true, we have become your sheep by trusting that you are our Savior and God. Nevertheless, we must confess that we still have a rebellious old Adam that is stubborn and sinful and continually leads us astray. Therefore, we need your loving patience as our good shepherd to deliver us from our sinful ways, to protect us from our own foolishness, and to forgive our many sins. We need you to take the evils and dangers that beset us and turn them to our good. We need you to hear and answer our prayers. We need to hear and heed the sound of your voice as you speak to us through Holy Scripture. Do not, on account of our sins and stubbornness, turn away from us. Dear Shepherd, by your continual presence, comfort and cheer us in every journey we must make through the dark, shadowy valleys of this life. Satisfy us with the green pastures of your word and nourish our faith. Quench our thirst for righteousness with the refreshing streams of salvation. When we are oppressed on every hand by troubles, desires, and distress, temptations, sickness, sin, and heartache, yes, when life seems to be too difficult to endure, teach us to turn our eyes of faith to you, the Good Shepherd, and to cast all our care upon you. Answer our anxious cries, for only you know what is best for us. Refresh us with your help and guidance, with your protection and healing. Especially when we walk through the valley of death itself, be with us, shepherd and overseer of our souls. Dispel the gloom that surrounds us with the bright promise of salvation, filling us with joy and confidence as one by one we journey from this life to our eternal home in heaven. Cause goodness and mercy to follow us the rest of our days. Expressly we ask you, O Lord, place your hand of healing and help upon all of the sick and the suffering, and bless the work of doctors and nurses according to your good and gracious will. Frustrate and bring to naught the plotting and planning of evil people who seek to hurt and harm us or even destroy us. We look to you as our good shepherd and the Savior of our souls, who has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Grant us, we pray, Almighty God, a steadfast faith in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd of our souls, a cheerful hope in thy mercy, and a sincere love to you and to all our fellow men. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and rules with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.